Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your admirable, exemplary, exquisite, distinguished, accomplished, superlative, transcendent, distinctive, incomparable, magnificent, paradigmatic, pulchritudinous,
Landis.
Huh?
What are you talking about? What are you doing?
I'm introducing the radio show.
No, with that accent and those words.
I just thought it would sound good if we spruced it up a little.
If we what? It's 8:30. Ain't nobody got time for that. We got to get this show on the road.
It's the Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your hosts, Philandis Harris
and Tamika Sanders. Relentless Pursuit is a faith-based, young adult radio talk show created to bridge the gaps between racial, spiritual, and social divides. We discuss controversial issues that directly hinder the millennial generation from pursuing their God-given purpose.
We want to showcase young adults who are relentlessly pursuing God and their passions in the form of ministry, entrepreneurship, and through their gifts and talents.
Our goal is to equip our listeners with biblical principles that will nurture their dreams and catapult them into their divine destiny.
It's a relentless pursuit.
Good evening, everybody. This is Philandis, your co-host for Relentless Pursuit, a show brought to you by MCD Network. We just want to give a special shout-out to our network owner, Coach D. Hey, Coach D.
Hey, Coach D.
Tonight's show, we're going to be doing a bit of a sequel for last week's show where we talked about emotional stability and the importance of having it within your interpersonal and professional relationships. And tonight, we kind of just want to harp on what it means to have a clear mind, which I said we believe is the prerequisite to having a healthy mental condition. And so tonight, we're just going to be talking about what that is, what a clear mind is, why it's important to have one, and we're going to give you an example tonight of what it looks like to have one and what the benefits of having one are is. or are. And so we're going to go ahead and introduce our special guest tonight, Ms. Corey Williams, and Tamika's going to do her introduction.
Corey Williams is a publicist, public speaking agent, and the CEO of K-Will Communications, LLC. Leveraging nearly 10 years of experience in business-to-business and entertainment communications, K-Will Communications is a public relations, communications, and speaking agency for entrepreneurs, entertainment, personalities, and business leaders. The company provides comprehensive communication solutions in industries ranging from leadership development and lifestyle brands to music and media. Having worked with a diverse array of companies in various markets, Corey's expertise garners effective publicity that increases brand exposure, expands client influence, and positions them as leaders within their respective audiences. She holds a bachelor's degree in journalism and communications from Hampton University, a native of Cleveland, Ohio, and founded her company recently in 2015. She's also just relocated to the DFW area, so if there are any listeners in the Dallas area that is looking for public relations representation, she is the one to go to. So we brought Corey on the line for our entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs segment to talk about a clear mind and what it looks like to have a clear mind. Just we want her to basically talk about her planning process when planning for her business, when writing down her vision, how not having a clear mind affected that vision and the steps that she took to get a clear vision of what she wanted her company to look like. So, Corey, you could just say hi to our audience.
Hello, listeners. Thank you, Tamika and Philandis, for having me on the show tonight. I am honored to be here and actually looking forward to sharing some of the highs and lows of going through the process of not having a clear vision and coming to understand what it means to have a clear vision and then solidifying that clear vision to move toward the path to success. So thank you.
And throughout the call, anytime there are any callers or listeners that have any questions, feel free to press 1 at any time. We'll be glad to answer your questions, receive your comments, and thus forth.
All righty. So we just want to go ahead and jump right in. I want to start off by defining what it means to have a clear mind, because I can say that all day and expect everyone to know what I mean by that, but we just want to give a general definition of what it means to have a clear mind. And I came to the conclusion that a clear mind is conditioned by having an inclination towards positive results. And so if your mind is conditioned to think positive thoughts and to expect success and to expect success in everything that you do, you have a clear mind. Anytime you have your mind is always clogged with thoughts of why you can't do something, or you're not having what it takes to do something, or what other people think, if they'll be having negative thoughts towards you as a person and towards what you're doing. And so a clear distinction between a clear mind and an unclear mind is that one of these mentalities expects positivity and it expects success, and it refuses to be bogged down by negativity. And the unclear mind, on the contrary, it's just constantly stagnated and defeated by all of the negative possibilities that could possibly come from doing something. And so that's just a general definition of what it means to have a clear mind. And we're going to talk about and go into detail about why it's important to have that clear mind. And I just came up with a little quote where I said, a clear mind is to success what vision is to the blind. And again, I said, a clear mind is to success what vision is to the blind. And this is no offense to anybody that may be listening that either is blind or knows someone that's blind. It's just, basically, if you know someone that's blind or you have been blind yourself, you could still function, but it would make a world of difference if you were actually able to see, because we were created to use our five senses. And even though people sometimes say that when you don't really have one sense, it kind of strengthens the other four, and that could be possible. I'm not ruling that out. But if you're blind, it becomes harder
to function in the to your highest potential. And, you know, we have some people that are the exception to the rule, where people like Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, like, they're blind, but they have surpassed so many limitations that it's just unbelievable. And so, yeah, we just want to talk about why that's important. And I'm going to go ahead to Corey and just have her talk about the revelations that God has given her about the importance of having a clear mind.
Okay, well, thank you, Philandis. I think one of the things you said is really key about, you know, the quote with, you know, what did you say, vision is to success, what?
A clear mind is to success, what vision is to the blind.
Yep. And it's true, because in essence, not having a clear mind is, in essence, not having a clear mind is a form of being blind. I mean,
right.
I've never been legally blind, but I would imagine that not being able to see clearly what's ahead of you, you know, in the natural can be, you know, the same way with having a, you know, clear through clutter in your mind, whether the clutter is negative thinking, whether the clutter is just depression or inclination to or lack of confidence. So to me, a clear mind is knowing what you want, having the confidence in your ability to pursue what you want, and developing patience to watch it come to fruition. Those are just some of the things that I've come to understand on, you know, my journey in as a professional and building a business. I know when I was a little girl, I always just, you know, wanted to call myself being successful and living in New York City. And at a point in my career, I was able to live in New York City, but I was not able to attain the level of success that I desired or saw. And I realized that it wasn't that I wasn't necessarily successful, but what I desired wasn't clear. Success is a very vague term. You know, you can be successful at failing, you know, but it's very important to clarify and solidify what that success means to you, and to have a confidence, a sense of confidence that you are capable of attaining that success in your life. Confidence is really key in that, because you can want something, but if all you focus on is, well, I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I don't have that, it can really bring in some self-doubt that can prevent you from even pursuing it. So those are some of the things that I've just come to understand in, you know, in terms of what it means to have a clear mind.
That's good. I like that. I was going to ask you if you could tell our audience, what are some things that, I guess, interrupt having a clear mind? So what are some things that you would say makes you have an unclear mind?
Some of the things that makes you have an unclear mind is having very vague goals. Like I said, you know, like just like, oh, I want to be successful. Successful at what? You know, success is a relative term. Like I said, you can be successful at failing. You can be successful at pissing people off or making people angry, you know, but just to have clarity about, you know, clearly defined goals. I want to work in the entertainment industry. I want to be a reporter. I want to serve in ministry. You know, having a clear, at least just foundational goal about what that is, and then looking at your gifts, your abilities. What are you good at? What are you not good at? You know, what do you enjoy? And pulling those things together to figure out the way, the natural things you can do to even begin to pursue that. You know, there absolutely is, I would say, an element of faith that comes in with that. But one of the things I've recently learned is that you can also use your brain mix with that faith to naturally pursue the things that you see in your mind's eye. You know, sometimes as Christians, I am a Christian. I'm actually a member of the Potter's House here in Dallas. So sometimes, you know, and I've grown up in church all my life, and sometimes as Christians, or, you know, just as you know, people of faith, we can tend to just be like, oh, I'm just praising the Lord. I'm just waiting on God, just waiting on Jesus, you know, and it's just like, but what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing to, okay, you have this vision, you have this understanding of what you're supposed to do with your life, but what are you doing with your resources, your capacity, the things that you have at your disposal to actually pursue that. Because if it's nothing, you're going to get the same results over and over and over again from day to day. And so it's really important to understand that with a clear mind and that clarity of vision or solidifying that goal, there's also an element of human ability and capability that you have to exert in order to move toward making that a reality.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So what would you say, okay, you get a clear mind, you get a clear vision, you write it down, make it plain. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to carrying out that vision, mm-hmm. how important is it to have consistently have a clear mind in order to carry out that vision, and what, you know, are some things that can interrupt the process of having that clear mind to see your vision come to pass?
Repeat the first part of the question again.
I don't remember what I said. Okay, you got your vision down. You wrote it down. You made it clear. It's plain. How important is it to have a clear mind in carrying out
consistently
having a clear mind and carrying out, being able to carry out the vision that you wrote down?
Okay. That's a really good question, Tamika. Consistency is so key. And it speaks to one of the things I said before about not only having the confidence in your ability to pursue it, but having the patience to watch it actually come to fruition. We all live, you know, here things happen, life happens, some days are good, some days are bad. But consistency, there has to be like a knowing, like just a consistency in knowing, like, okay, this is my vision, and I didn't do as well today as I did tomorrow, but I still know what I'm working toward. It's like if you consider a map, you know, a map can give you countless ways to get to a certain destination, but at the end of the day, the destination is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's important to focus on that destination daily, whether you just time in your prayer time, or if you meditate, or even if you just say affirmations or whatever, just consistently have, if you got to put a picture up on the wall of what it is you're working toward, just something that consistently reminds you that you have a purpose, that you're pursuing something, that you're not just here, just floating around, taking up air. And because what happens is sometimes you're working hard and you're being diligent about pursuing that vision and things don't go your way. Or, you know, you lose a job that you thought was your dream job, or you run into, or better yet, you're on a job and it's a really challenging situation, and every day you're being talked down to, and it's just very toxic, and, you know, it's causing you to almost lose heart, almost lose confidence in the ability of what you're putting. Am I doing the right thing? Am I supposed to be here? Why is it this hard? You know, that's why patience is so key, because things do take time. Nothing just happens overnight. And when it does, be careful, because there are things that, you know, your abilities and skills can take you to that sometimes you don't have the character to sustain, you know, and getting things prematurely can deal a crushing blow to your confidence. And I'm speaking from personal experience. So even in that, in those kind of valley times, I'll call them, it's important to remain focused, to understand that you have a goal, and to know that things like doubt, things like depression or you know, things that we can oftentimes become susceptible to are temporary. They're temporary, and a lot of that the terms of the time of how long they last is dependent upon your ability to really believe in your goal and in your capability to pursue it.
I like that. One more question. So, Corey, what are some things that you implement on a daily basis, practical things that yields a clear mind for your business, your vision, all of that?
Okay. Well, a couple of things. I try to work on something related to my business or clients every day. Every single day, like even if it's just for 15 minutes, even if it's reading a book, even if it's, like I said, I'm a Christian, so a lot of times I listen to, you know, sermons and just different inspirational things. Just try to do something, even if it's small, to work toward that goal every single day. More recently, I've gotten into affirmations and created a vision board, and that's really been key to really just kind of shifting my thinking and shifting my thinking process. Another thing that I've recently just come to understand is that you have to be, because I'm a super type A person, so I can be very just rigid and stuck in my ways. But what I'm realizing is you have to be open. You have to realize that the pursuit of purpose or the path to that vision is not always going to look exactly the way you had in mind. So you have to be open to other ways that can create that path. So practical things, like I said, doing something every day. If you're an author and you're trying to write a book, focus, like, to try to set aside 15 minutes every day. You know, even if it's just mapping out your outline, even if it's just kind of coming up with key ideas that will go into your book, even if it's just writing one paragraph per day. You know, if you are, you know, an entrepreneur and you're working on solidifying your business plan, you know, even one section every day, you know, even if you have to go back and revise it, every day do something to work toward that goal. Here recently, I created a vision board, and the concept that I came up with for the vision board, I literally broke down a cardboard box and used the four sections of the box to symbolize different aspects of my life and the vision I have for them. So one section is for work, career, and finance. And in that section is everything I hope to see and realize in my work, in my career, and in my finances. The next is about how I want to live. You know, having a good time, enjoying life, making time for the fun stuff, fun and fearless, and all of the things that I would like to see in my lifestyle. The third is about my relationship, companionship, and marriage, and the things I would like to see come to fruition in that area of my life. And the fourth is about just who I want to be, how I am, confident, bold, having great character, beautiful, all of those things that I you know, want to see come, you know, in my life or believe about myself. And attached to that vision board are some affirmations, some things that I know about myself and some things that I, you know, believe about myself. And one of the things I started doing here recently is waking up. You know, one of the first things I do every morning is I come out and I study the vision board. I study the vision board every day. You know, for at least about 10 minutes, I'm just staring at each section, looking at everything that's there. And I spend some time reciting the affirmations, and I record myself doing it. And that's really been helpful in just practically retraining my brain and reprogramming my mind to build up that confidence, to pursue the things that I have ingested through faith, you know, about my life, and that I, you know, have put on the vision board, that the things that I want to pursue. So those are some practical things that are helping me or have helped me to, you know, kind of solidify the vision and clarify the thoughts in my mind.
And as she was talking, I have a few notes written here, and one of the things that she kind of zeroed in on was doubt. A lot of times people, they have a disposition of doubt, and what I mean by disposition for them to be doubtful, not just of themselves, but of everything in general. And it sounds like, you know, people, they ask these questions like, well, how do I overcome this, and how do I get rid of this? And it seems like from what she's saying, and I can attest to this myself because I started doing some of those same things, it seems like you have to put work in. You can't just hope that you're going to stop doubting. You can't. It's not going to come by osmosis, and it's not going to come by you just wishing that you weren't doubtful or hoping that one day you won't be. You have to put in work. And it seems like what the cure is to being doubtful is self-empowerment. You know, I've had some struggles with doubting myself and my ability and the quality to which I can perform in different areas of my life. And, you know, I can sit around and be depressed and have low self-esteem all day, like, oh, my God, I can't do anything right, or, you know, I'm okay at this, but I'm not as good as so-and-so, comparing myself to other people and being self-conscious. But it seems like for me and for Corey, what's the cure to being doubtful is empowering yourself, making daily confessions, and even if you got to look in the mirror and tell yourself, you can do this. God called you to do this. I can do it. So-and-so said that they believe I can do this, I can do it. Don't do something because someone else tells you you can do it, but you have to believe that you can. And I'm sorry, Tamika has a comment.
I was going to say while you were talking, it reminded me of something that Bishop said in one of his sermons. You know, given there are so many things that the enemy try to put inside of your head, things that people have said, maybe you have friends or family that have contributed to the doubt or the low self-esteem or the lack of confidence. But Bishop said that what you say to you determines how far you can go. What you say to you determines how far you can go. So it doesn't matter what anybody else is saying about you to you. It's what you're saying to yourself. So what are you saying to you? You guys talked about doubt, you know, low self-esteem, lack of confidence. Those things contribute to having a clear mind, feelings of inadequacy. You know, that's something I struggle with. You know, can I do this? God called you to do something. Can you do it? You know your limitations. You know your weaknesses. You know that you 2 seconds away from messing everything up, ruining your entire life, but God is saying, I called you to do it. And so are you saying what God is saying about what he's called you to do, who he's called you to be? And so I think those things are important. Also, piggybacking off of last week, emotional stability is a huge part of having a clear mind. I mean, I can't speak for anybody else, but for myself, if I'm ever emotionally charged about something, God can't even speak to me in those moments. That's how unclear my mind is. God can't even break through. He'll wait until I completely calm down, my emotions are impartial, where he can speak, because now my mind is clear and I'm open to receiving. So if God can't even speak, I can't even hear from God, I don't see how you can function or do anything, you know, in those moments. And so, you know, having emotional stability and getting out of your feelings is something that has to be a continuous practice to having a clear mind.
Mm-hmm. And so with that, I had a few things that keep the mind from being clear, and doubt was the number one on my list. So I think it's really powerful that Corey touched on that. And so when it comes to having your own business and, you know, getting your vision, I believe, and I could be wrong, you could correct me, I believe that a lot of times when you're an entrepreneur, to some extent, a lot of it is trial and error, right? Yes, and yes. So if it's trial and error, talk to us about the importance of not allowing regret to be overwhelming in your mind, not allowing regret to kind of just like fill your mind and flood your mind with thoughts and how it can stop you from actually moving forward.
Yeah, so not allowing regret to overtake you is critical to your success, absolutely critical to your success, because I've worked for companies, I've, you know, done freelance work, and you know, like Tamika said, just recently kind of, you know, started and gone into business for myself. But, you know, in each of those scenarios, you have uplifting circumstances and you have challenging circumstances. And I started my career almost 10 years ago when I was 19 was when I first started working in the public relations industry. And I was working for an agency in Maryland, and this was it's I actually just recently told this story, but I was working for an agency in Maryland. I was like super on fire. I was like overzealous, just yeah, you know, like just so excited. And I really didn't know very much about public relations. I hadn't graduated from school. I literally just took a shot, and you know, the CEO, she saw something in me that, you know, made her, you know, want to give me a chance. And so she kind of took on the role of mentoring me and molding me and training me, you know, as it relates to the industry. And there was one meeting that it was very early on in my career, in my time being there, we were it was a proposal meeting, it was a sales meeting, so we were going to try and get a new client. And I had written this proposal, and I didn't really put enough time or commitment into editing it properly. And I gave it to her, and the words she said to me about the quality of the work really hurt, and I was 19. So, I mean, just very emotionally charged at the time. You know, I didn't cry or anything, but she said something that literally changed my career. It changed my career. It changed the way I thought about myself. But at the time, I felt horribly. She's like, I'm going to tell you, she told me, I can't read this. I can't read this. She said, there are so many errors in here that I don't want to read it. She said, and by you giving this to me, it says to me that you think your time is more valuable than mine because you expect me to catch your errors. And as the CEO of this company and you being the employee, your job is to make my life easier, and this isn't it. And I had to pick my job off the floor and go back to the drawing board. I literally spent, the workday ended at 5 or 6 o'clock. I stayed at the office that night until 11:30 or midnight correcting that proposal. And ever since then, I have become like the most critical editor.
A stickler for
everything. So the one thing I would say about those challenging situations and just regret and all those things is to learn from it. Like, take the lesson. It's kind of like you eat the meat and spit out the bones. You know, and spitting out the bones is the emotions and all of the hurt and hard feelings that come with it. But at the end of the day, you eat the meat. You digest the meat. You digest what you need to take and learn from that situation. And when presented with the same situation or a similar challenge, you will remember the bones, how you felt, and you'll be able to approach it differently and handle it differently. You'll be able to process your emotions differently and walk out with, you know, with a success, you know, with one coin in your box, you know, the next time. Because, you know, just in my experience, and I've heard people say it, but, like, you know, lessons are repeated until they're learned.
Yep.
You know, God will literally give you the same lesson over and over and over, like, oh, got to get it this time, you know. So, as far as regret and just those types of situations, I would just say as best you can, take your emotions out of it, you know, all of that, and really try to get into, with your mind, into what it is you need to learn and take from the situation and how to become better and grow from it.
I think that's an excellent example, because what she's saying here is that she gave her best shot at something, and she failed, and she regretted it, but she didn't allow that to, first of all, define who she was as an editor or as a public relations person, or period. She didn't let that mistake and that failure define who she was. And one of the things that God gave me about overcoming having an unclear mind and how to develop one, the number one thing on my list that he spoke to me was, give yourself permission to try again if you fail. Because a lot of times you could give what you think is your best shot. You put your all into something and it falls through. You fail. You have one of two options available. You can either allow your feelings to be hurt and be crushed by it and choose not to ever do it again because you're afraid that you're going to mess up and you're afraid that you're going to fail, which is going to cause a regret in the long run. Or you can say, you know what, this is my first time doing this, and I'm still trying to get the hang of it. I'm still learning. And so I'm going to make mistakes, and it's okay that I made a mistake, so I'm going to try again. And not allowing that failure to make you feel like your quality of work and your quality of performance is defined by that failure. And so
what if it's your 10th time fail?
It don't matter.
How do you maintain the momentum to go again?
It don't matter.
In the same area.
You know, one thing that I was going to say, too, like even with that, even if you've tried 10 or 11, 12, 13, 25 times, I can personally attest to it. It's like even something totally off the young entrepreneur perspective, you know, with this Christian walk. You know, I've tried to overcome in an area of struggle about 60 times, and each time I failed. But each time that I failed, I may have kind of waddled in my hurt feelings and my defeat for a little while, but I got up and I tried it again. And each time I got up and tried again, the amount of time that I was down after failing, it shortened each time. So the first time, I probably waddled in my emotions for 6 months. That's a long time to be feeling defeated. I did it for 6 months. I stayed depressed and felt like I couldn't do anything right. And then the second time, it was 3 months. And then the third time, it was like a month and a half. And each time it just got shorter and shorter and shorter. So in that, it wasn't that I continued to fail. It was that I was building my muscles to get stronger, to endure more. And this pastor, one last thing, this pastor named Stephen Furtick, he gave a pretty cool analogy. And he said that his personal trainer, every time they're in the gym, his personal trainer says, failure is the goal. Failure is the goal. Could you imagine you working out, you getting tired of somebody just in your ear, failure is the goal. Yeah, failure is the goal. Come on, fail. And he's like, what? But he thought about it. He said, failure is the goal, because if you haven't worked out in a long time and you start back working out, your muscles are literally tearing. They're breaking down. Mm-hmm. But it's the breaking down and the limit that you can't push past, that when they rebuild and they heal themselves to be able to go past that limit. So if you could only do 5 reps before, when those muscles heal and you're not sore anymore, you're going to be able to do 10. Then they heal again, you're going to be able to do 20. So it's like you're building your muscles in whatever area is weak and you fail in. Does that make sense?
That's good.
And so I'm sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought.
That's okay. You reminded me of something that actually is on my vision board. So it came to my head because I see it every day. But one of the things I put up there was, I have it kind of catty corner, but it's like, before you decide to fail, and the other side says how to fail, and just below that it says dream big and live bigger. So it's just, and to me what that communicates is that, and one of my mentors, she actually says this all the time, is there's no such thing as failure. And if you put it into the context that you just said, it's literally because it's just another step in the exercise. It's just another opportunity to build those muscles in that area. So that's really key, and that's a really good analogy. And one of the things that I would speak to what Tamika was saying about, you know, what if it's your 10th time, you don't try and you just keep failing. I think that really speaks to emotional stability. You know, and just having your head on straight, you know, and what Philandus was saying, how, you know, the first time it took me 6 months, then it took me 3 months, you know, but just having your head on straight to a degree that, you know, the knowing of the goal and the pursuit of success, but also, like, being able to think the thoughts you need to think to get where you need to go. You know, otherwise, you know, you're stuck, and you'll stay stuck. And so, in order, like, in having a clear mind, that's part of it. Like being able, like, okay, I messed up, but let me get out of how I feel, because I can talk about that all day. But at the end of the day, these are the thoughts I need to think to pick myself up and try again, to pick myself up and go write the book, to pick myself up and finish the business plan, you know. So, I would say all that is really key.
I think in those moments, that's when what you say to you becomes very,
key, very
important because, you know, when you experience failures, you know, your weaknesses are exposed or whatever it is, I believe the enemy, it may not even just be the enemy. It could be our own insecurities that replay in our mind. Like, see, you can't do it. I told you, you ain't no good. This is the 20th time you didn't try to do it. You can't. And you have to literally silence those thoughts in the process. And so by silencing those thoughts, you have to speak life and speak the truth about who you are, about who God says you are, about what you can do, and reaffirm the insecurity that you have that you can't do it. Reaffirm, you know, your confidence level. Revisit your vision board. Get back to seeing where it is you're supposed to go. Because I know that just from personal experience that's what happened. You fail and you're like, oh, my God, I can't do this. I knew I should have never started. I should have never tried. And your mind just go on and on like the bear, on and on and on and on. And at some point you got to be like, look, stop it, you know, and enough is enough. And speak life to yourself to give yourself that momentum to keep going. Encourage yourself to keep going. Even if there's nobody around you to encourage you, what you say to you in those moments determines how far you can go.
Yeah. And so just really quickly, if anybody is just now tuning in, this is Relentless Pursuit, and tonight we're talking about the battle with an unclear mind and how it's the enemy of your success. And we have our special guest on the line here, Corey Williams. She's the CEO and founder of K-Will Communications, and it's a company that specializes in public relations. And so far, we've just been talking, we've defined what a clear mind is, And I defined that as a mind that's conditioned by an inclination for positive results. And so basically a mind that's conditioned by expecting positive results and refusing to settle for failure. And we talked about why it's important to have a clear mind. And a clear mind, I came up with a quote, a clear mind is to success what vision is to the blind. And we talked about a few different things that keep the mind unclear, number one being doubt. And doubt is defined as a disposition of uncertainty. And so basically it's your norm to be uncertain about something, to question your ability and your potential. We talked about regret and basically how if you fail or you make a bad decision, how it's important not to allow that bad decision to stop you from moving forward and also to not allow it to let you question your potential and your capabilities. We touched a little bit on self-consciousness about not allowing yourself to lack self-confidence and who you are and how you see yourself. And basically, we just kind of ended on how you can develop that clear mind is giving yourself permission to try again if you fail, and also to expect to win. The next time that you try, when you get over that regret and you give yourself permission to try again, you need to expect to reach the desired end that you have in mind. So if you failed at getting on the basketball team or you failed on getting on the debate team or wherever you're at, I don't know where you're at. You could be at your job and you could be failing at getting a promotion to a higher level. I don't know where you're at. Wherever you are, if you fail at getting there the first time you try, when you try again, you need to expect to get there the second time. And so, I think it's important, and I want to ask you to talk about this, Corey.
I want to ask if there are any callers that have any questions, any listeners that have any comments, need help in this area, please press 1. We'd be glad to hear from you.
All right. And so I do this a lot, and y'all might think I'm crazy, and that's fine because I know it works. So, Corey, talk to us about the importance of talking to yourself out loud. Because people think you're crazy. Like, I could walk through my job at work, and people see my mouth moving. There are no earphones in my ear. I'm not on the phone because my phone is on my hip, but my lips are moving. So how important is it to talk to yourself?
It's very important. It's very important. It's like, I kind of want to piggyback on what Tamika was saying before about what you say to you. You know, it's very important. Mm-hmm. I talk to myself all the time. I don't care how crazy, you know, people think I may be. I promise I'm good at what I do, so y'all don't think I'm crazy. But, I talk to myself all the time because sometimes, like, and sometimes you need it. Sometimes you have to hear an audible voice saying, you can do this. I believe, like what you believe, confessing it, putting it into the atmosphere, speaking life, where you're not really feeling all that alive, you know, and it's really key. It's key to being able to move forward. It's key to being able to pursue your goals. It's key to being able to pull yourself out of a depression or, you know, wherever you may be. It's key to sometimes being able to get up out of the bed in the morning, you know, for some people. It's really speaking to yourself is very important. That really speaks to affirmations and all of the things you say to yourself, whether only in your mind or out loud, but speaking audibly is very important. Is very important. You know, it's I remember at church a few weeks ago, Bishop Jake preached a sermon about belief.
Yes.
You know, and he talked about how according to neurology, it takes 21 days to kind of reprogram, you know, I heard it before about changing habits and, you know, like reprogramming your brain, but it's so true. It's so true. And that's one of the things that I've kind of, you know, taken on in terms of these affirmations, just speaking every day, you know, where I may have been doubting myself in one area or just may have been unsure in a particular area, literally speaking, sometimes even looking in the mirror, This is the truth. This is the truth. Identifying the lie and speaking the truth over it. So that's for me. That's very important. You know, regardless of what people think or how, you know, people feel about you talking to yourself. I mean, at the end of the day, it's I don't want to say it's just words because your words are powerful. But one of the things I wanted to just kind of piggyback on what Meek was saying about speaking life, and this is key too. But speaking to yourself and speaking life to your goals and all that is very important. But another thing that is really helpful for having a clear mind is your relationships and the people with whom you're connected. It's so important to have strong relationships with friends, teachers, mentors, pastors, whoever that can uplift you in those moments. You know, I mean, so it's critical to be able to kind of get yourself out of a place, but don't shun talking to other people, you know, because other people can see things in you that you may not be able to see. And them speaking life to that can quicken something in you to where you're like, okay, well, maybe this is true. Maybe I can, you know, change the way I think about this. So that's one of the things I would also say that can help you in developing a clear mind and just clarifying your vision from, you know, about your life, about your marriage, about, you know, your business or your career is being connected with good people, good mentors, you know, like-minded people that can uplift you and inspire and motivate and encourage you in those areas. So that was one of the other things I wanted to say.
I've had several identity crises in the midst of trying to pursue God and the things that I know He's called me to do. And I have a mentor that I, you know, called her several times, like, oh, my God, what am I doing? How did I do this? Why did God call me? Why He tell me to do this? And He know I can't, blah, blah, blah. And she would just literally stop me and, like, Tamika, you know, and bring you back.
Yeah.
So I think that's important that you have someone that you can trust that knows, that is aware of your vision, know where you're headed, has some insight from God on where He's taking you so that when you have in those desperate moments or moments of unclear mind and instability, that emotional instability, that they can center you, bring you back, refocus you, speak life over you, this is of the enemy, silence the voices of your emotions, silence the voices of your own insecurities, silence the voices of whoever else then said spoke things in the atmosphere. You know, and redirecting those words to more positive energy around you. So
and I agree that it is important to have mentors and even just your inner circle, people around you that can see what's in you and can speak to that when maybe you don't see it or maybe you're not as confident in it. And the season that I'm in, you know, I've gotten fat on people affirming me and telling me what I can do and you can do it and God has placed this inside of you and all these beautiful words. But I'm learning that the voice within you, your voice, is the most powerful, because you can have all these people speaking over you and affirming you and telling you that you can do it. But it's almost like if you don't speak that to yourself, if you don't give that permission to yourself to be that great person, to be that capable person, it's almost like you're relying on the permission of other people to be the great person that you already are, whether or not they tell you. And, you know, that was a hard kind of concept for me to learn, because for so long I've lived off of the permission of other people. If somebody said I couldn't do something, then I didn't believe I could do it. If somebody said I could do something, then that's what I believed that I could do and what I could be good at. But as soon as I started opening my mouth and giving myself permission to do things, even that I didn't know how to do, like this radio show, I didn't know how to do this. You know, people told me a lot of times, like, you would be good to have your own radio show. You have a great radio voice, and I think you would be good at doing that. But it wasn't until I started telling me, I can do this, I have what it takes, I have the voice for this, I have the ability. When I started permitting myself, that's when I got better at it, and I'm still getting better at it. I got more confident in my ability to do it. And so I just kind of wanted to zero in on the importance of you giving yourself permission. And that's why I asked Corey to talk about that.
I just wanted to comment that that's really good, because when you don't give yourself permission and you're constantly relying on other people, it's almost like you can't move until you get your fix.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to call 10 people and tell them what you're doing, and they all have to give you positive feedback before you're charged up enough to go move and do and be like, okay, now I can do it. 10 people say I can do it. I got it. I got this.
You know, and so, and then when you hit those low places, you need another quick fix. You got to call everybody else and get that quick fix. And so I think when you realize your own potential and your internal potential, when you reach those low places, you can encourage yourself and you can pick yourself back up. And you don't have to call 10, 15, 20 people and tell them your vision and see if they agree and see if they think that you should mm-hmm. be able to do it and see if they see your ability.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the times that speaks to an insecure place in yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're insecure and you need someone to tell you that you can do something or that you have the ability or that you're beautiful or whatever it is that you have the capability to do X, Y, and Z. And if they don't see it in you, then you revert to, oh, dang, well, I guess I ain't good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, you have to develop enough self-confidence to know that you can do whatever it is that God has called you to do, or whatever dream or whatever vision or whatever business, whatever ministry, whatever talent that you have, you know, you can perfect that and you can pursue that and you can adequately achieve the level of success that you desire.
That's good. Go ahead and preach that word. So, no, and it's true, because everything that she's saying, you know, you guys know that Tamika is my mentor, and we had this conversation probably about maybe 2.5-3 weeks ago, and I it was, like, overwhelming for me to hear that, because I don't know where it came from, but there was a fearful place inside of me to have a relationship with myself and to be responsible for myself. And there was this guy, or this man of God, he's a pastor. I'm sorry. He said that you're 100% responsible of your own life. And it's almost like I asked Tamika the other day, like, where have I been for the past 25 almost years? Because I feel like I haven't been responsible for me. I haven't been responsible for my mental condition. I haven't been responsible for my own success, because I've been relying solely on other people hyping me up and encouraging me. But it's true. You're responsible for your life. You're responsible for your confidence, your success. And I'm not diminishing that you need people to encourage you sometimes, because you just do. Sometimes you just don't have it to pump yourself up. Sometimes you just don't have it, and you need to hear it from somewhere else. But that shouldn't be our primary source of pump up-age.
Yeah, that's true. And all that's very good. And it what you said just made me think about the importance also of being present.
Yeah.
Just being present in the moment, like being able to, in that moment, recognize, okay, this is how I feel. These are the thoughts that are kind of coming in, but this is what I know.
Mm-hmm.
So let me redirect all of this. Let me do some pump up itch, you know, and to move past this moment. But it's very important to be present in the moment, and like you guys said, to give yourself permission to believe in yourself and to believe in your own capability, whether it's playing a piano, whether it's singing, whether it's ministry, all of that stuff, because that speaks to another key thing about comparison.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we compare ourselves.
Yep.
And we're looking like, oh, I can't do it like that, so I guess I ain't that good. But that's not true. That's just simply not the truth. You are called to be the best at exactly what you're called to be, whether it's singing, whether it's playing the piano, whether it's ministry, whether it's entrepreneurship. You have the capacity and the ability within yourself to pull that out, for it to come out and be a reality. Otherwise, you wouldn't have those gifts, you know. So yeah, that those are also really key things. Being present and
being present and
okay, we all forgot, but yeah, you know, being present and not comparing yourself to other people, and just you know, recognizing your ability and your ability to pursue the things that God has placed on your heart and downloaded into your spirit through faith. Another thing, and this is kind of just, you know, books I've read and just kind of leadership, you know, coaches and stuff that I've heard. It's just kind of like a lot of people visualize.
Yes.
Like a lot of people spend time, you know, just kind of
you know, during the day or in the morning, just kind of laying there, closing their eyes and visualizing what they want, you know, what they envision for the day, what they envision their goals, you know, what they envision that success to be, you know, and it's interesting because that speaks to power of a thought, you know,
yeah.
The power of a thought, be it for good or evil, you know, those things absolutely, you know, can manifest. So visualizing your success, not comparing yourself, being present in that moment are all key things to developing and sustaining a clear mind.
Good. I didn't try the visionary thing, and I always fall asleep. I don't know. I would have to find another technique. But that's important, not comparing yourself, because I remember when I was younger, people always say, I want to be the next so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to always be like, I don't want to be the next nobody. I want to be the next Tamika Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be the first Tamika Sanders. I want to be the next Tamika Sanders. But that just reminded me, like, I never wanted to compare. There were people that I admired.
Mm-hmm, right.
There were people that, you know, you can aspire to be like, but you can only be one of you.
Right.
You know, God created you. He threw away the mold. He created somebody else. He threw away the mold. He gave you a specific place in the earth to be able to succeed in that area. Your job is to find out where that is so that you can succeed in that area and not trying to emulate someone else or be like someone else or compare yourself to someone else and trying to do everything exactly the way that they do it to get where they are going, because they're the only person that can fill
that
spot.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important that we're not comparing ourselves to everybody else. You can admire. God told me one time, he was like, Tinka, you have to decide the woman that you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can't look at everybody else and be like, oh, you know, take attributes and aspects of every other woman to build up Tamika. That's not who she is. You have to decide who is she, not who everybody else says she is, not becoming the person that will approve you, but becoming who you want to be and not copycatting or mimicking or comparing yourself
yeah.
to someone else to become that.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. And so real quickly before we run out of time here, we've got about 3 minutes. Corey, where can people find you? Where's your information?
You can find her at 6777 West Boulevard.
At the Potter's
house.
At
the Potter's house, right.
No, go ahead. Right. Well, I'm actually myself going through a rebranding process, so all of my pages are actually still active and up. My website is www.kwillcomm.com. That's K. WILLCOMM.com. And on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at KWillCom. So that's KWillCom on Twitter, KWillCom on Instagram. All this is with two M's. And on Facebook, just searching KWill Communications LLC. It's the full name on Facebook. But yes, definitely check me out. Like my pages. You can absolutely reach me via email as well at Corey, K-O-R-I, at kwillcom.com. And, definitely connect with me. Like I said, any entrepreneurs or business leaders, authors that are, you know, kind of looking to enhance or expand their brand presence or kind of attract more opportunities or even looking for public speaking opportunities, that is absolutely what my company does. I'm the best at doing it, as we just discussed. So
is.
So definitely connect with me via social media as well as on the internet. And again, if you know would like to reach out to me directly, my email address is kori@kwillcom.com.
That is so good. And if there are any people online who are writers, you want to write a book, you want to write a memoir, you want to write an encyclopedia, Corey is the person that you want to have review and edit for you, because she's just the bomb diggity at what she does.
She'll find grammatical errors that do not exist.
She'll find the grammatical errors in your thoughts. So she's good at it,
she's
and that's not to discourage anybody, but if you want some top quality editing, you need to hit her up.
Never learn MLA format. Never learn how to write a sentence. You can't fail. She will, yes.
Yeah.
Glenna said it right. She will find the grammatical errors in your thoughts before they even reach the paper.
Yeah, she
but
will.
But for the goal of
failure. So. She failed a lot, so she needs to make sure.
I developed a really critical eye.
Yes, very critical eye. You missed a comma there.
Right.
So yeah, unfortunately, guys, we are running, or we've officially run out of time. And so just we hope you got something from tonight. I got something from tonight. I hope you did. I'll have the rebroadcast available shortly. But also next Monday, tune in at the same time, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for another controversial topic segment. We're not going to tell you what it is yet, so you just got to log on and be surprised, because we're going to surprise you. We're going to be surprised all together.
but before we go, I just want to thank Tamika and Philandus for having me on the show tonight. This was a really exciting conversation, really, you know, on point with where I am in the season of my life. I'd like to thank the MCD Network and Coach D for having me as well. And, I enjoy listening to you ladies every Monday. You're doing awesome work.
Thank you. Thank you for relentlessly pursuing your dreams, your visions, your passion, and God.
God bless. Have a good week. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.